and welcome to All Things Apostolic. I'm your host, Pastor Jeremy Wilbanks, and I'm so glad that we're together again today. We're continuing our discussion of the attributes of God, or those characteristics that describe His nature, and let's talk about our unchanging God today, or the title that is given to this attribute is His immutability, or sometimes you'll hear people say God immutable. So what do we mean when we say that God is unchanging? Or what do we mean when we say that God is immutable? Now, the reason that may seem like an odd question, but the reason this is an important question is because there's a lot of discussion, or at least historically, there's been a lot of discussion about this, this very idea. And it's important because when we read scripture, scriptures that indicate that the Lord, in some places it says that He repents. One place it says that He repents, that He made men. Another place it says that He repents for working with certain individuals in Scripture. So God repents, or in some cases, and this is a positive thing, it says that God will turn back to someone. You turn to Me and I will turn to you. Return to Me and I will return to you, etc. Well, things like that. Turning back is changing. Repenting is changing. First of all, there's things that we have to understand about what it means to repent, and that's a different discussion. And especially where God's concerned, that's a different discussion, and maybe a discussion for another day, Lord willing. But all of these things that indicate, or that might indicate change on the part of God, where He repents, or He turns, or any other situation like that, those things that indicate change, God repenting isn't connected to God changing. This is the thing. That doesn't mean that God changes. And this is an important discussion for us to have, because we do want to know what that means, because sometimes those questions come up. If we believe that God does not change, and we will get into the description of what we mean by that here in just a moment, but it's important at the beginning sometimes to establish what we don't mean. So when we say that God, when Scripture says that God repented or God turned again, that is not indicating or connected to Him changing, but it is indeed connected to humanity changing. For example, God is a covenant maker. God is a covenant making God. And this is just an example of what we mean. And covenants are conditional things. They are built on if then language. Covenants are built on if then language. If you will, then I will. It's covenant. On a very foundational level, it's more than this, but on a very basic and foundational level, it's a contract. If you will, then I will. And the contrast is true as well. If you will, then I will. But if you don't, then I won't. So this is, God is a covenant-making God, and there are conditions. So we can, one great example of this, and often used, often preached, very easy to pick up on. We can see this in Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem. You can read about this. This is preached about often, sung about often. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is where you can find it. Verse 14 is where the actual, Solomon has prayed and he's laid some conditions out for God around the building of the temple in Jerusalem. And he's saying, God, if Solomon is essentially saying, I know humanity, if they fall, if they slip, if they turn, if they rebel, etc. Well, if they come to this house and they make sacrifices and they pray and they repent, would you please turn back to us? God responds in a covenant. This is covenantal language. He responds to Solomon this way, very familiar passage of scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is what he said. Notice the if then language. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If my people, then will I hear. If my people will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear. That's covenant language. If then. So all of this is preceded by God promising that he said, okay, if Israel rebels, and because of their rebellion, because of their sinfulness, because of their wickedness, I send pestilence, or I send war, or I send drought, or I send clouds of locusts, which would be pestilence. He precedes that answer to Solomon's prayer by saying, look, if they rebel, I will do these things. But if they turn, then I will turn. That sounds like changing, but it's really not. It's really God. It sounds like God's repenting. If the people repent, then God repents. But really, that's God demonstrating that his nature does not change. We'll get to this in a moment. When it looks like God repents, or when God repents and it looks like God changes, or when God turns back and it looks like God has changed, what's really happening is he is responding to changes either positively or negatively in humanity. He's telling us, my nature is not going to change. But if you will come back around and align with my nature, well, then I will, in Solomon's case, he said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This is the whole idea behind covenant relationships. So when it appears that God's changing, it's really his refusal to change. It's the result of humanity changing away from that which God cannot tolerate. So there's another concept here. So this is the concept that you have to understand when it comes to repentance. So here's another concept that has to be addressed that's present even today. In you have to dig around a little bit and find it, but it's present with people that talk about the immutability of God. You'll run into this, and that is, it's an ancient understanding of what it meant to be immutable or unchangeable. And it actually comes from Greek philosophy, and Greek philosophers, when they spoke of divine immutability, whether they were talking about the God or some lesser thing that they considered God, when they spoke of divine immutability, they not only meant that God, that divine being, was unchangeable, but that a God, to retain his power by definition, has to be unaffected by humanity in any way. Because if he can be affected by humans, he's not all powerful. So when Greek philosophers talked about divine immutability, it didn't just mean that he didn't change. It meant that he was wholly unaffected by humanity. This is part of the discussion that we just had, that God was, a Greek philosopher's approach, that God, it's not just that God doesn't change, but that he's wholly unaffected by humanity in any way. In fact, the philosophical term, the Greek term, is the term apatheia. You can hear words that we use even in English. It's where we get our word apathy or apathetic. As it applies to God's immutability, if you're a Greek philosopher, it means that God is unfeeling and that God can't be moved or swayed in any way. And this is not what Scripture means. When Scripture talks about God being immutable, that is not what it means. In fact, I want you to notice what Scripture says about God. What Scripture says in the book of Hebrews, that we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Those five English words are really one Greek word. The feeling of our infirmities, five English words, one Greek word. It's the word sympathesia, meaning having the same feeling, sim and pathia. Sim meaning same, pathia, talking about the feelings. Sympathesia, having the same feelings. Thank God that when we read Scripture and it shows us that God is unchangeable and immutable, it doesn't mean that he's made of wood or metal and that he's unbending and unyielding and unapproachable, and therefore unable to help us. And serving him is like serving this thing that's, it's like serving the great destroyer in the sky, that if you don't line up. Thank God that we can repent, and thank God that when we do, God can turn back to us. It's not saying that God is immutable. It's saying that humanity has made a change that's away from the nature of God. And when we make that change coming back to the nature of God, thank God that he is not full of apatheia, but thank God that he is full of sympathesia, that he can feel what we're feeling, and we can make changes, and therefore he can turn back to us. So we don't mean that God is made of metal or wood. We don't mean that he is, when we say that God is immutable, we don't mean that he is full of apathy. So what we mean when we say that God is immutable, what Scripture means when it says that God is immutable, is that his essence, his essential nature, never changes. Meaning there's never going to be a time when he's not God. There's never going to be a time when he is less than God. There's never been a time when he was less than God. His power does not diminish. His nature does not degrade. He's not subject to decay. Modern language here, he never needs to download an update. He is never destroyed. He is never moved from position. This is what Scripture is trying to pick up on and list out for us so that we can get in touch with the nature of God. This is God communicating his nature to us. Listen to Psalm 102, verses 24 through 27. Psalm writer says, I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish. Listen, he's making a comparative statement here. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. Listen to verse 27. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Malachi taps into this same idea in chapter 3, verse 6. That third chapter is dealing with an awful lot. You ought to go and read Malachi chapter 3 and understand the context that this is in. But listen to Malachi chapter 3, this one verse, verse 6. God is speaking through the prophet Malachi to the house of Israel. He says, For I am the Lord. This is very famous, very familiar passage of Scripture. For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. This concept of God not changing, his immutability, makes it into the New Testament. James, the apostle James, picks up on this in his letter to the church, called a general letter. Chapter 1, verse 17 says this, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom, notice what it says, even so God's nature is perfect and everything that, his nature is immutable, and everything that comes down to us, his relationship with us, his gifts to us, they are immutable as well. They come down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And this immutability is present even in God manifest in flesh. That didn't change when he became a human. When God became man, it didn't change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. God's immutability is expressed perfectly in Jesus Christ. And further, God's immutability is expressed toward us as human beings perfectly. And I thank God for it. And you will too. Listen to the writer of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 through 18. And you'll need to read chapter 6. It's talking about the promise that God gave to Abraham. We're going to pick up somewhere toward the end of it, but it's talking about the promise that was given to Abraham. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 12, but it's referencing that promise. And it says this in verse 17, chapter 6, verse 17 of Hebrews, wherein God, willing more abundantly, listen to the language it uses here, to show unto the heirs of promise. When you read the book of Galatians, you find out that you and I have the opportunity to be the heirs of the promise of Abraham. Thank God. But listen, to show unto the heirs of promise, listen to the language, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Here it is again, that by two immutable things. Okay, what are those two immutable things? God's word and God's oath. You'll read that in context. God's word, God's oath, two immutable things. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And we can stop reading there. God's word, God's oath. You can read about God's oath to Abraham there. Just a few verses prior, it says, when God could swear by none greater, he swore by himself. And the blessing of Abraham, that in blessing I will bless thee, in cursing cursing I will curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. And the blessing of Abraham is extended to the children of Abraham. And this is an immutable promise. This is what's being expressed here in Hebrews chapter 6. His immutable counsel to immutable things. It's an immutable promise, and it's extended to the children of Abraham. This is an immutable promise given by an immutable God. So this is the covenant relationship presented to us. If then, covenant relationship presented to us. It's a covenant extended to us, an immutable covenant. It's going to be the same if the Lord tarries for another 500 years, 5,000 years. It was the same from the days of Abraham until now. And thank God the access to it was made completely available on the day of Pentecost. And we avail ourselves of it through repentance, through baptism in Jesus' name. Galatians tells us that if you've been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ, and you become heirs according to the promise. So if we're baptized into Christ, we become heirs of an immutable promise, a promise that is not going to change. This is how, number one, you relate to God. It's how God relates to us, but it's how we relate to God, and it's an immutable thing. I thank God for his immutable nature. I thank God for his immutable promise, and I'm excited to be serving that God with you. We look forward to the next time we get together, where we're going to be talking about the attributes of God. God bless you. We'll see you then.